Oh, I'm just so thankful that all of you are here. This message today, God is just, it's like, nope, we're going to do this. I've been working on this 2 weeks, and it's the same thing. And it's like, this, just some basic, let's go back and do some basic stuff here. And you know, I like to get into some really more challenging material, and yet God is saying, this is challenging enough. Let's remember what this is all about. And one of the things, we're going to be looking in John chapter 3. We're not really focusing on the most familiar passage, but we're using it to lead us into a little bit, some more deeper understanding of why things are like they are. And before this event, this cataclysmic event that's occurred this past week, before that, we were really caught up in all the miscalculations and simple-mindedness or no-mindedness of government and a lot of things. And through it all, God's been just really saying, don't lose sight of what's going on. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to read this in just a moment, but just as an introduction to it. The title of this message is Choices. And then underneath that, that's what you have, and it's just choices. And I had, and then under that, it's like you are what you choose. And that's the way it is. And you are what you choose. People say you are what you eat. You're what you choose to eat. You're what you choose to believe or not believe. You are what you choose. So choices. And that's what we're talking about today. And John chapter 3, we look at verse 16 through 21, and it's about choices and making the right choice. But let me say this to you. God does not give me, He gives me insight, and He's given me discernment. But He doesn't give me prophecy. So all I can tell you is I don't have a prophecy, and I haven't had prophecies. I'm an exhorter and a teacher, and I bring this out, and I'm like a coach. But one of the things that God has been speaking to me about this last week is this. It's like one of the reasons that things are happening like they are, the corruption in government, all the, and then this thing here. I have no word from God that He's bringing this on people, and so I don't believe He is. But it's coming and being allowed because so many people are taking God so lightly. Friends, this is to encourage you here today, but to keep us aware and to share with people, God can't be a part-time God in our lives. And a lot of people that say they're Christians are making God a part-time God. When it's convenient, I'll worship God. When it's convenient, I'll pray. When it's convenient, I'll read. When it's convenient, I'll go help somebody. And you see that everywhere. And our Christianity has become more of a out there, a talking about God, but not a doing. And lives aren't being changed. We've become more so religious, haven't we? And I don't mean you here, but Christianity has become so religious. And that's the very thing that put Jesus on the cross was religion, wasn't it? It was religious people who talked a big talk. Anyway, and so things are happening, and I really see at the crux of it, God is saying, I just want my people to be my people and to come back and remember what I've done and now what I'm doing for all of you. And after this week, God kept reminding me, Tony, I've put you through a lot, and you've had to endure a lot of things, and you've had some real hardships, but I've protected you this entire week. And He put it in my heart. I watched over you. You were in that one little place where there was electricity. Something I did? No. It was God saying, I want you to tell my people that I will protect those who honor me. And those of you who've had some things, doesn't mean you've done something bad. It means God is going to take care of you in a miraculous, wonderful way. So let me read this. And you grab hold of this. And this thing this week, now I want to say to you, we've been hearing all of this stuff as we get into this. This was just a humorous thought, okay, that came into my mind. It's like, okay, you wanted us You wanted us to not go anywhere. You said, stay home, isolate yourselves. Well, we've done that. So if there's not a dent in COVID now, then somebody is making up something. Yeah, really? I mean, okay, we've been isolated. And I mean, we have really stayed away. Where could you go? So there ought to be a big drop. And if there's not, then I have to question the whole validity of that. Now, I know it's real, but I don't know if it's as real as they're saying it's real. Okay, so, but anyway, that humorous thought, okay, we got isolated. I didn't move. I couldn't move out of my yard. Probably most of you couldn't either, but I couldn't move out of my yard for 5 days. And the truck was frozen in, and it was nothing but sheets. What happened out there for me, and I don't know if this happened here, a big rain came ahead of this. And then that water froze, and it started freezing as it was raining. And so I had sheets of ice hanging everywhere, and it sheeted ice down on the highway and down 377, because it just shut it down. And and then it snowed on top of the ice. So it looked like you could drive through the snow. I thought I could walk through the snow, you know. So I tried that, and that was an experience. Now, I have to tell you, I'm going to preach. I got to tell you this one story. Because most of you that know me a little bit would say, that figures. If you've been at my house, you know it's I'm up on a little bit of a hill. And so it slopes down. I got this brilliant idea. Well, if that solid ice, I wonder if I could get one of these big packing boxes and sit down in it, give myself a push, and end up down. And I did. And I just shot down that thing. I felt like a kid again. And then I go sailing down the driveway towards the highway, and then finally get down there. And then the thought, it hits you, right? Just like a little kid. How am I going to get back? So getting back was a riot, but it was worth the trip. That was a heck of a box ride down that road. That was just down and went. And I thought, that's the neatest thing I've done in years. But anyway, the walk back decided me against doing that again. But anyway, so choices. So anyway, I was in there that week, and God just spoke to me and said, I've surrounded you, I've clustered you in here, and I've clustered up a lot of people on what I wanted you to do. And this is what God spoke to me. Just I knew in my heart, I want you to just really thank me, and I want you to focus on me. I don't want you to be worried, and I was anxious. Please, God, don't let anything happen. I want to, you know, like we all were. Don't want everything to freeze up. But God was saying, why don't you just trust me, trust me, trust me. You can't fix it. You can't stop the weather, but I can. I can stand up in the boat and say, peace, be still, and stop the whole thing. And friends, he can do that for you right now. With all this government, with all this, with all the energy people cheating and all that, we have God on our side, and you trust the Lord to intervene for you. So let me read this. I'm reading now the New Living Translation. It's going to be read a little different. I did it on purpose because it explains the latter part well for us. This God so loved the world. This is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son. That we know this, right? But there's depth in this, and there's depth in what follows. This is how God loved the world. That's you, all of us. And He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Man, we have quoted that. That is the Christian verse. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through Him. So we need to know that part. And we'll talk a little bit about that, but we're going to get into this other part. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him, in Jesus. But look at this. But anyone who does not believe in Jesus has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it. For fear, look at this. See, we leave this part out when we talk about John 3:16. He said, those who do evil hate the light and they refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see they are doing what God wants. So when we quote John 3:16, that's great. But if you quote it in context, I've done it so many times, this same thing. And that's actually out of context. You need to quote the whole thing. So listen, here's where it is. God gave Jesus. We know that. Why? Because He loves us. If anybody in this room has any doubt that God loves you, listen to me. God loves you so much He sent Jesus to die on that cross. And through Jesus, God gives eternal life. But God, listen, I'm hearing too many messages on TV, and hear them on the internet, wherever, if you have, you know, but I'm telling you, I hear people saying, God just loves you, God sent Jesus to die for you, and they forget to tell you, but you have to make the choice to choose what God offers. It's not automatic. You can't absorb it. And what people are being misled with messages that make them feel good. Listen, friends, you have to choose. God gave Jesus on that cross so that what? Everyone, catch this, everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. It's not by osmosis. You can't just absorb the thing. And too many people think that by going to church or by being part of a certain church or denomination or doing this or doing that or taking the Lord's Supper or the sacraments or whatever you want to call them, and you know, they're okay. No, you're not. Listen to me. Knowing about Jesus is not the same as knowing Jesus. You can date someone for years, but you don't know that person till you marry that person. Everybody say amen to that, okay? And it's the same with God. And what happens is many people go to church, do things, they tithe, they do it, but they know about Him, but they don't know Him. You've got to be married to Him to know Him and be intimate with Him. You just never know a person until you're in the same room with them for a long time. Well, it doesn't take too long, does it? I mean, you just discover, oh my goodness, I thought you liked that. No, I only did that so you'd like me. Well, I thought you liked eating. No, I did that because it made you happy. You don't really like it? No. We all learn this stuff, right? And then we learn all the good stuff. The same with God. There's a difference when you about in reading the Word and saying, I know that Word. There's a big difference between that and experiencing the Word, where it's alive in you, where it does something, it changes you. And so God gave Jesus, and through Jesus, if you believe in Him and you repent of your sins, and you, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll open the door, I'll come in with you. And He says, I'll sup with you, meaning I'll have a meal with you. I'll be right there in your house, and I'll clean up your house for you. I'll do everything for you. Jesus says He's going to give us a banquet. He'll even cook for us when we get to heaven. And so in the meantime, though, He says, I want you to receive me. Choose me. I want you to believe in me and repent, and I want you to let me have control of your life. That's the big thing. Don't know about me. Know me. And so we've got, first of all, we have to choose to believe. We've got to choose to believe in Jesus. It's not just going to happen automatically. I worry about people. I talk with them, and not here, but out and about. And I start asking them about this very thing. That's why you say, this is so basic. And it's so missed by so many. And I ask them, you know, what makes you believe you're a Christian? I want you to, and they'll say things like this. Well, Tony, I want you to know I tithe, and I read my Bible, and I'm in church as often as I can. And I said, and so that makes you a Christian. Yeah. And they can't quote this. They don't get this. And it's like, you're doing all the religious things. You're doing all the Christian things. You're going through the motions. And then that question has to be asked. And this is what we all should be asking. We can ask it lovingly. But have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life? I mean, and repented of your sins, and said, I'm a sinner, and I want you to come in and be and forgive me, and I want you to be my Savior and Lord. Have you ever really known Him? I said, do you know Him? And so many people just look at you like, and they'll go right back, I go to church. No. I have to tell you something, folks. I don't know if you've been a pastor. Well, you don't have to be a pastor. You know this if you've been in church very long. I have found, and I found this a long time ago, when somebody says, well, I go to church, I found that the devil does too. I found that he loves going in a church and stirring things up and hurting people and causing division and strife. Have you ever noticed that? So that's not too good an excuse, because that guy, that's why I rebuke him in prayers. Before we start, I don't want him in here. And I rebuke him in Jesus' name right now. Get out and stay out. This is God's place. We're God's property. That's it. The earth is the Lord and everything in it, and our bodies are God's temples. But just know that. And so what makes it happen? Listen, God with Jesus gives everyone a choice, and that choice is to believe and be saved, or to not believe and perish. And there's no middle ground. I know there's some places that say there's a middle ground where you got a second chance. Friends, there's no second chance. The choice you make on this earth is the choice for eternity. That's it. Hate to tell you, but it there's nothing about a second chance in here. That's it. Choose Jesus Christ. And listen to me. That choice is to believe and to believe and to keep believing, even if you fail. How many of you have failed this last week? Okay. Did that make you a non-Christian? No. The Scripture tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you say, why are you saying that and pointing that out? Because everybody will still sin. But when we sin as Christians, we're convicted instantly. When I see people doing the things they're doing, some stuff we talked about earlier, like some of these, you know, these electric places, and they're gouging people, they have no conscience. I'm telling you, friends, they don't get it that God is watching. And God's watching out for you, His people. They might get away with something for a while, but I'm telling you what, in the end, we win, and God's going, He's for you, and I'll guarantee you nobody can be against you. And I'm ready to see some people start, you know, they wanted to dance to the music. It's time to pay the fiddler. You can cheat and rob and steal and take advantage and gouge. Well, by golly, you know, there's a place. So you just keep that in mind. You say, this is kind of tough. Yes, it is. Because God's not a little wussy God. He's an almighty God. And you read that whole Bible and you find out that God's a loving God, but He doesn't mess around, and when He's tired of putting up with something, He stops it. And so if you're having trouble from somebody, if you're having issues, if something's been going on in your life, I'm telling you, your God loves justice, and He's going to take up for you. And He's going to come through. But you've got to ask Him into your heart and let Him be your Savior and Lord. Secondly, first you got to choose. And Jesus does not choose to judge you as a Christian. That's good news. See, we know that God loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son, right? And whoever believes have eternal life. But look at the rest of it. And God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world. I have struggled with this a lot of my life because I grew up in a kind of a very strict, rigid, judgmental type thing. And so you kind of equate, you know, you relate to God kind of how you were raised. It's hard to get over that. And if you got out of line, you really got serious trouble. I look back and I thought, there was times that I probably could have been, I would have been better, more easily behaved if I'd had someone just sit down and talk to me about my behavior instead of just grabbing something and beating the dickens out of me. Sometimes it helps. Sometimes you wish somebody would beat you instead of just talking to you, don't you? You know what I mean? But I grew up with that. And once in a while, when my attitude's not right or I get mad, lose my temper, I told a young pastor here a week or two ago, he said, "What do you have any weaknesses?" And I thought, are you joking? Go ask the people at the church. Does Tony have any weaknesses? You see, what's the number one that you've known me a while that is one of my weaknesses? Huh? Traffic. Yes. Spam. Yeah. Spam. I can't help spam. He means real spam. I've got a weakness towards spam. I like spam. Cooked, barbecued, I don't know what it is. I just like spam. That was spam. I attend traffic, and one of the things that you've known me to do is to be a worrier. And it's one of the sins that I've had to struggle with all my life. And I worried in this storm. There's God taking care of me, and He had to constantly remind me, you're worrying. Worrying is a lack of faith. You're not trusting me. You can't do a thing. I can't. Quit worrying. And I'd give it away. I'd have peace for a little while, and here I go again. Pacing the floor. Is it going to be all right? Is it going to be all right? Like I could affect anything. And God just finally will humble you with that and say, okay, go ahead. Fall down on the floor. Because you can't change a thing. And Jesus said that. Can you, by worrying, add one little minute, anything to your life? No, it takes away from it. That's one of them. And a lot of you may not know this one. Some of you do. But at one time in my life, I had a serious temper. You don't see that as much. You see it controlled. The Lord, that's one the Lord grabbed hold of and has really, and you pray that He'll keep that. But there was a time when, and in my military days and all that, that temper could come out and I could turn from, and I don't mean just temper, but it was one of those temper that could just, with no conscience. And God really ministered to that. And Jesus, He said, I want you to be loving. So you don't see that, and I pray you never do. But it was there. It was there. And so you say, I share these things because we all have them, right? And you can pray about that for me, and you know what your issues are. But those are some of my struggles. Yes, I tend traffic, wants to tap on that temper. You know? And with that old military thing, I've wished so many times I had two twin 50 calibers mounted on the front of that pickup. And really, it crossed my mind. And it's like, Tony. And you can hear the Holy Spirit. You got to go preach today. You can't kill people on the way to church. That does not fit into messages. That doesn't work well. Especially not in John 3:16. So, Jesus chooses not to judge in spite of your temper. In spite of you getting mad at traffic out there and getting all worried and all upset. See, I'm sharing these things that He doesn't judge me for that. He'll convict me of it. But conviction is not judgment. He convicts so my fellowship's not broken, so I can confess it, so He can overcome it in my life. That's what He's doing for you. So Jesus came to save you. He came to give you, what does John 10:10 say? You can write that down. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it what? In abundance. If you're not having abundant life, you're not allowing Jesus to give you what He came to give. Take it. Live abundantly. Right now, in the midst of all the backwash of this and all that we're going to see, and all, listen, you're going to see power companies and ERCOT and everybody else trying to throw the blame somewhere else. That's typical. But friends, stay focused right here on the love of God for you, and Jesus doesn't judge you, and He's for you, so nobody can be against you. It doesn't matter what the world says or believes. It matters what you believe about Jesus Christ. And He did not come to judge you, but He came to give you abundant, full, satisfying life. And He also came, listen to this, Jesus came to make you the salt and the light of this earth, because that's what He is. And right now, they need us. They, everybody around us, they need you and I. That's why we're here today, to hear this, to be encouraged in this. They need us to be the salt and the light of Christ to them right now. And to stand strong and to hold in there and to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. That's what Christianity is all about, is having some feelings for people and at the same time, those strength of faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Now, what about those who did not believe? That's the third one. Those who choose not to believe. Listen to me. Look at that. It says, there is no judgment, this is verse 18, against those who believe in Jesus. But anyone who does not believe in Jesus has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Now that's serious. You know what it's saying? Every person right now who refuses Jesus Christ is already judged. They judged themselves. Why? they have the opportunity, just like you and me, to choose Jesus as their Savior. They don't choose Him, and so they bring judgment on themselves. I've had many a person say to me, Tony, how can a loving God judge like that? And I'm saying to you, and get this in your mind and keep it there, a loving God is not necessarily judging. He's letting people judge themselves. You believe in Jesus Christ. You accept Him. He died on the cross, rose again the third day. He's seated at God's right hand, interceding for every one of us right now. That's a wonderful thing. And you choose to reject that? Then you brought judgment on yourself. What's wrong with you? That's what we need to be asking the world. What's wrong with you? Well, He tells us what's wrong with them. Why do they reject Jesus? And He explains that too. He says this. It's based on the fact, listen, it says God's light came into the world, but they love the darkness. They like being evil politicians. They like the benefits in this world of the payoffs, the perks, the power. They like being evil business people. They like getting away with things. Some people, many people, are empowered when they can do the sneaky thing under the table. They feel like big shots. Look at me. Boy, I know how to wheel and deal. And God is sitting there, and I have my little book of life here. And I'm sorry to tell you, but you're not in it, and you're not going to wheel and deal with me, the Lord. So you may have your little wheeling and dealing and get away with it for a while on earth, but friend, there is a day coming and you're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God. And friends, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get your reward and they're going to lose theirs. Am I happy about that? He says not to rejoice. It's a terrible thing. But that's what's happening. And so as Christians, we need to be reminded that this is it. We have a watered-down Christianity out here that doesn't want to tell anybody that there's a real hell. Friends, there's a real hell. Man, we've just seen a little bit of it this last week. Now, I don't mean this ugly, but I hope this is okay. But I've got a cousin, she sent this out. She's, and we've all, there's my sister and myself and two cousins that have always been pretty close, you know, Cousin Eddie, we know Cousin Eddie, but she sent this out and she said, 2020 was hell. 2021 is hell froze over. And when you think about it, boy, think of all the things, you know, oh, it'll be, you know, freeze over if that happens. Well, it happened. A bunch of things happened. Anyway, I found humor. I'll probably get censored for that. But anyway, it kind of is, isn't it? But we've seen a taste of it in a different way. Friends, hell's real. Judgment's real. And you ought to sit here and I pray that your heart's lifted up and you're saying, thank you, Jesus, that you've helped me believe in you. I never will be under your judgment. I have, Jesus, you took my sins. You took my judgment. I'm free. The truth has set me free. I could go out of this place today and know that no matter what happens in life, I am free from your judgment. For me, a kid that grew up in a very harsh, judgmental type environment, God, that's so freeing, so relieving to be able to sit here and bring this message and from my heart, experiencing it, knowing there's no judgment. Even when I mess up. Even when I just can't do it right. I remember I could have learned more about being a mechanic, but I was a kid and I'd be trying to help, you know. We want to help. We'd crawl into there and it just... And the first thing you know, there'd be a bunch of cussing because a drop of pliers or the wrench or the whatever, usually bolts, a washer, whatever. Be working on a tractor, be doing something. Anyway, and you're up in there and all of a sudden you're getting cussed out and so you turn off to it and you never want to help and you won't do anything because you want to get cussed out because you dropped something. I'm not saying out of the bad pity. I had a great dad, but I realized now my dad, he's a good guy. He's a great teacher. But he really had, today, you know, we talk about this post-traumatic stress. Well, he had it. My dad was in the Battle of the Bulge. And they were over there, you know, there was 101st Airborne, 106th Infantry Division. That's what he was in. And they were just decimated. He used to wake up screaming at night, reliving all that. And so I forgive him. I understand. He was a great hunter, a great fisherman. Taught me so much survival and outdoors. But he just had that snap, boy, just go. And I'm not picking on it at all. Love him pieces. But I just, it turned me off because in that judgment, I just felt under judgment all the time. When I was pitching, I was learning to pitch and playing baseball in high school. Bless his heart, when he could get to a game, he'd sit right behind the catcher, behind that little screen, and he would tell me after the game every pitch that I could have done better. Friends, don't do that. Don't do that. And it'd make me so nervous when he was there. I couldn't pitch well because I knew I was going to get, if a curveball didn't break right, or it went in the dirt, or it's held high, and they tagged one. You know, it was like, I was thinking, what about all the others? I struck out six guys. I struck out nine guys. We won this game, and that what counts. But now you got to work on that curve. Your drop ball is not working good. That slider just stinks. And it's like, so if you're not careful, this is not pick on Dad Day. This is saying, our Father in heaven is not doing that to us. He's not looking and saying, your curveball didn't break good today. Your fastball is not, it doesn't have the spin. You're not really letting it come off your fingertips light. You're not putting the pop to it. God's not saying that. You know what he's saying? You know what he's really saying? Even when your curveball's not breaking right today, he's saying, I just love you so much. I love you so much. And he's saying, don't forget, I died for you when your curveball wasn't breaking right. When you couldn't even throw a fastball. I died for you when you couldn't even take care of yourself. When you were sitting there, you know, people were mocking him on the cross. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's what he's saying. And so when the stuff doesn't happen, and you're dropping the forks and breaking the plates, and the curve isn't happening, your God is always happening. And he's saying the only people in this earth that are being judged are those who choose not to believe, and they bring judgment on themselves. And we need to tell people that. Because I've had people say, how could a loving God that you read there in John 3:16 judge anybody? It's like, he lets you bring it on yourself. He just gives you the rope and you put it around your neck and hang yourself. Or you can choose Jesus Christ and walk away free. I get to close. Oh, yeah, it's closing time. It's closing time. So, in closing, those who believe, who choose to believe, it's all about choices. Let's sum it up. Those who choose to believe have eternal life. They're not judged. That's you. And they're drawn to the light of Christ. You know one way to tell Christ people from the enemy's people? Jesus people come right here and they don't mind being open and honest. In other words, their deeds are brought in the light. That's what you've seen this morning when I confess to you the things in my life that could be better. That's God bringing that to light. And saying, see, this is what the Holy Spirit does. This, I share this because I'm prompted to do it because that's what God does. God doesn't want you hiding your shortcomings and your sins and darkness. He wants you to be able to share them with others. Because when we can share our strengths but our weaknesses with them, it helps other people. They're saying, oh, you do that. Yes. I thought I was maybe going to be judged or burn in hell as a Christian because I have this problem and I see that you struggle with that. Of course I do. All people struggle, but we have a God. What does it say in 1 John? Greater is Jesus in us than he that's in the world. He's bigger than our struggles. It's okay. Let people just be open. Come to the light, and the people that are not God's people are always making excuses. You see that? They're always coming up with excuses, reasons, justifying, blaming somebody else. They always have a reason why they're not where they ought to be. Instead of just saying, I failed, I cussed, I lost my temper, I did this. That's the people of the light. And they come into the light to say, the Lord is my Savior. Jesus is my Savior and Lord. And I can confess my sins. I can be open about them. That's what the light does. It brings it out. It purifies. It cleanses. Pushes away the darkness. And we see people in political office, in business, all over the place. It's just like it's opened the door to Pandora's box now that all this stuff has been happening. And there's cheating and lying and covering up. And friends, let me tell you something. That tells you these are people of darkness because they choose the dark. Why? It tells you here. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed, and they don't want us to know what they really are. Thank you. Thank you. God's people want to be known as God's people. We just come out with it. Here we are, real people. Take me, God. And He takes us and He makes us into something. And they're so afraid that if we know them, and get this, the more that people try to stay in darkness, the more we see. Because God reveals them. I mean, when somebody's hiding in the dark, you know they're a little bit on the, right? So, man, we got a whole government in darkness right now. And they don't want to change that choice. Because they're evil. They're doing evil and they hate the light. That's why they hate Christianity so much. They hate God. They hate Jesus. Because Jesus puts light. You ever ask yourself, how could people be so bitter and contentious towards a loving God? Because His presence in us reveals their sins and wickedness. It exposes the dirty deeds. Listen, everywhere you go, Jesus is in you. You're bringing a light. And people, not everybody's going to like it because you expose it. You're like a, you know, completely dark room and you come in with this big old bright LED light. And they're going, oh yeah. That's why they're after us right now. That's why they can't stand God, Jesus Christ. He's a light. He shows them up. So friends, let it shine. Oh, what God, it reminded me of that little song. This little, didn't it, everybody? What was it? This little light of mine. Yeah, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, my goodness, yeah. That wasn't in the notes. I'm sorry, folks. That just came out. So let me say this, and we're out of here. The devil's people are drawn to darkness because their deeds are evil and they want to hide them. But God's people not only come to the light, they welcome the light. You know why? Because you are the light. Jesus said, you, because of Him living in you, He's the light, but shining through you, you are the light of the world. You're the salt. And you have His power. And I want to tell you this as we close. You've chosen Jesus Christ. And He chooses to make you the salt and the light. But let me tell you what else He gives you. He gives you His eternal love. He gives you His eternal life. He gives you His eternal protection. He gives you His eternal provision. And He gives you something else. He gives you purpose. He gives you life in abundance. But God, as you get to know Him, keeps giving of Himself and filling you to overflowing with the love of the Spirit for God, for Jesus, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love for each other as yourselves. And He gives you a power. And He said it in Luke chapter 10. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And He said, I give you, because you choose me, with all this other salt and light and everything, I give you this. He said, I give you what? The authority to walk among snakes and scorpions, means demonic things, and crush them. But He didn't stop there. And He said, I also give you the authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. You claim that authority. Stand in the light. Rejoice that God so loves you. He gave Jesus. And rejoice that you've made the choice to be His and He's yours. I'm glad you came today. I hope you're glad you came. It's so good to see all of you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The more the Lord make His light to shine upon you, the Lord lift up His presence, His countenance upon you. The Lord give you peace, and I just pray the blood of Jesus over each and every one of you, over us all. God, shine through us, and thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.